Aloha and welcome to the Hawaii Family Forum Triple F Podcast. Triple F stands for Faith, Family, and Freedom. Hawaii Family Forum has worked alongside the faith-based community in Hawaii since 1998. Join us today as we continue to work toward a Hawaii where God is honored, religious freedom flourishes, families thrive, and life is cherished.
Aloha everyone, this is Eva Andrade. I am the president of Hawaii Family Forum, and I have been dying over this last week to hear more from what Janet is telling us is happening to our youth. And what I want to do very quickly is play for you a clip about youth access to abortion, and then we'll come right back.
Thank you for calling Planned Parenthood.
I'm going to be 14 in March.
It's a call that should cause alarm.
I was wondering if you guys do abortions there.
She says she's a 13-year-old child.
But my boyfriend's 22.
Pregnant by an older man. In the eyes of the law, that's sexual assault. The man could go to jail.
Well, would you have to tell anybody that I was on
Everything's confidential here.
Confidential? Oh, okay. That's not what the law says. So, employees who work for family planning centers and abortion clinics are considered mandatory reporters. If a worker even suspects child abuse, that employee is obligated to tell authorities.
So Janet, listening to that that phone call by this young girl calling in, I mean, this is one of the reasons you are so strongly opposed to abortion on demand.
Yes, because there really are no safeguards. And number one, we don't support abortion for any reason at all. And one thing that I think is really important to share is that this is not we're not judging anyone. This isn't about saying people are bad and anyone that has an abortion is an evil person. I believe this is really about truly educating people and creating an awareness and giving people, mommies and daddies and young girls, all of the facts, the truth of truly what an abortion is, what it does physically, psychologically, emotionally, mentally to women, and not just women, generations of families, and to say, okay, here are all of the facts on abortion. Okay, you have a right as in a free will, in a free society, to make your decision. But what our experience shows over and over is that abortion harms women, it harms families, and it also harms generations to come.
What do you do when, right now, Janet, for the listener that has experienced an abortion and they're listening to this and they understand what you're saying and they get it, that it's bad, but for whatever decision or choice they made at that time, they felt was the right decision. Speak to that person right now.
Heart in your life is so precious and matters eternally to the Lord, and that, number one, you're not alone, and that if it's a decision that has caused grief and sorrow and heartache and hopelessness and despair, that there is tons of hope and healing and resources out there to help you walk through that. And to know that if you just ask for forgiveness and you just go to the Lord, that it is a done deal and that you don't have to own that anymore. And that is another big component to this. People are going to tell you there are no psychological effects to abortion. I got to tell you, that's a big fat lie. And you are going to be okay. And this isn't pointing a finger. This is designed to say, let's equip one another. Let's come alongside of each other. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to make unhealthy choices. We're going to be in situations where we just do the wrong thing because we're just being human and that rebellious nature. But when that produces a harmful result that needs another harmful decision made, that we can really prevent that, and we can say, you know what, it's okay, we'll help you work through this pregnancy. We're going to come alongside you as a community. If you can't keep this baby, we're going to help you make an adoption plan. The church will come alongside of you and help you raise this baby.
You know, dear listener, it's never easy to look at something in your life that brings pain. And no matter who you are listening to this right now, there's been something in your life that's caused you pain. For one woman, it might be that she chose to have an abortion. For another, it may be that she experienced domestic violence in a bad relationship. For another, death of a loved one. Everybody experiences pain in their life. But dear listener, there is hope. And the faith-based community in Hawaii doesn't always just say no. We do say yes.
Of course.
And I want to give a plug right now to the men and women that staff the pregnancy resource centers in the state of Hawaii. There are places for you to go to get a listening ear, to get someone to pray with you. And I want to call them out by name. There's the Pearson Foundation. There is a place for women in Waipio. There's the Aloha Pregnancy Care and Counseling Centers. On Maui, there's Malama Pregnancy Center. On Kauai, there is the Kauai Pregnancy Center. And on the Big Island, there's the Kona Pregnancy Center. And dear listener, on the page of this website, I have a link to all of these centers. Please call them. They can all help you. We also have Rachel's Vineyard Ministries in Hawaii that's run by Lisa Shorba. And then there's also a Project Rachel Ministry that is run by Deacon Keith and Bernadette Galang. I know a place for women in Waipio also has ministry for men and women who have experienced abortion in their relationships. So there is hope for you. So take a moment and first of all, give it to the Lord.
Yes. And thank you for that, Eva. You know, it's a highly charged issue because, you know, if abortion was such a good thing, why is it so intense? Why does it feel so bad? Why is there such a radical debate over it? You know, just up until recently, you didn't hear women walk out of an abortion clinic or a Planned Parenthood and say, "Hey, Eva, I had an abortion today. Hey, let me, just in case, let me give you the number of my abortionist. Best decision I've made in my life." It's harmful.
Although celebrities right now are killing themselves, right? I mean, Planned Parenthood has a very polished promotional campaign.
That's
right
what
now
I was
women.
Saying up until
yes,
now.
Yes, up until
but
now.
But here's the thing. Post-abortion recovery is really critical. Many women that have had abortions 34 years ago are finding today that they really have to come to terms with that decision and know that they know that they're forgiven by the Lord to truly be set free. And I'm going to share that once you take that step to go through that maybe abortion recovery program, you might not think you need it, but once you get in there, and I can attest on many different levels that once you get in there, a whole host of stuff starts to surface and you just start laying it down and going through the healing process and things really start to change and transform and this whole renewed level of hope and just starts to surface and you're almost alive again because it's not a secret shame that you're carrying.
And that is the crux of what we've been saying. We will not promote anything that tells you to go in a dark room somewhere, take a pill, or to experience the loss of an abortion and not have this open communication with people in your lives that can love you and walk you through it. And we're not talking judgment, are we?
Never, 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 never. This is no condemnation. We are not the ones. We're here to, be a listening ear and with some of our experience, maybe direct and point to resources that are really life-changing and healing and supportive and positive and life-affirming and letting people know that they don't have to buy into the lie anymore, that they're the apple of God's eye.
Which means that we are never going to endorse, support, or celebrate someone beating somebody up over the head. And I don't mean literally. I'm talking about, we have heard stories of parents who force their kids into an abortion or a boyfriend or husband that forces their girlfriend or wife into abortion. We are never going to condone that. We are not okay with any kind of bullying in any form. So if you are a Christian person and you've experienced bullying, or you've had an abortion and somebody in the faith-based community has judged you or condemned you, that is not what we are talking about, and we do not support that. We support healing and a God that is full of grace and forgiveness and mercy. And pastors, we understand. I'm talking to you, pastors, right now. And Janet, I know you're very close to your pastor as well. Pastors, we're talking to you. We know it's a difficult thing to preach about these issues because, you know, women are sitting in the pews that have experienced them. But it is okay for you to talk about the grace and mercy that comes from opening yourself up to the Lord for forgiveness.
Yeah. You know, it's really powerful thing. I could be sitting next to someone in church and just meet them, and a woman, you know, women, and they'll start talking to me, and then, you know, I'll see them the next week and say hi and then get to know them a little bit better. And next thing you exchange a phone number, and I already know in my heart that this woman has had an abortion. And then maybe on the third conversation, the Holy Spirit just gives me the peace to ask them, and the floodgates open and they break down. And sometimes these women have been pregnant in the middle of these discussions and thinking about having another one.
That's a perfect segue into what I was going to ask you. Talk now, Janet, to the young girl who may think she's pregnant and may be considering an abortion but hasn't done it yet.
You know, I would obviously say don't make that decision. I would say go to someone that you trust. I prefer to encourage you to go to your mom or your dad, unless there's real violence or a real estrangement there. I believe the best counsel is always with the mother and father, especially if you're a churched family. So that is my number one advice. Go to mom or dad or both of them. And I can tell you, I can almost 90%+ say that when you do that, you will be pleasantly surprised. Although it's a painful discussion to have, your parents will receive that and be open and will probably not be happy, but they will be there and they will be supportive. So go to your parents. If you can't go to a parent, go to a trusted mentor or someone you're being discipled by in church. Call the pregnancy center. All the services are free of charge. All the services are confidential. It's all the counsel is coming from a biblical worldview. So you're going to get, you know, you're going to get truth and love. And Jesus is going to be the true counselor there. And so you're going to win no matter what.
And it doesn't end there, does it? That's another misconception, is people think if they go to a pregnancy resource center that they get the pregnancy test and then they never hear from these women again. That's not the case, is it?
No, there's a lot of follow-up. There's a lot of ongoing support services. Once if the woman is pregnant, or the, you know, young adult woman is pregnant, there's a Baby and Me store. They help them with medical resources, you know, additional support. It's really a precious time of celebrating life, and you see that something that seems so almost if it's the end of the world can turn out into something so beautiful. Do I have time to share one story?
You absolutely do.
This is one of many. And my Kahus will attest to this. I've had girls come to me. I had one girl. I'll give you one story, and I'm going to cry. There are so many of them, but one girl was referred to me, I guess, for lack of a better term. She was referred to me through my church, and she was pregnant. And I met with her at Starbucks in Waikiki about, I won't say how many years ago, but it was years ago. I know her son is... I gave it away. He's born, praise God. But he's, I think, between 6 and 10. So I met with her, and she was distraught, undone, pregnant, a bit of an abusive relationship verbally, not physically, but still. She had already had an abortion with this guy. Mom doesn't want to have anything to do with the baby. So she's very conflicted. She's been going to church, a new believer, but just so he had moved out with the from the boyfriend in with the mom. Tells mom I'm pregnant again. Mom knew she had the first abortion. Mom said, you know what? I'm disappointed in you. This, you got to have another abortion. I'll pay for it. So we went down the pros and the cons, and the pro list of having an abortion was zero, right? And I just tried to love her, on her, non-judgmentally, and tell her that no matter what decision she made, that my door will always be open to her. If you decide to have an abortion, I want you to know you can always call me. I will always be here for you. But my prayer is that you choose life for your unborn child. Well, we said goodbye. I didn't hear from her for a year. And after a year, I get a phone call from the person who referred to me and said, so-and-so wants you to meet her son.
Oh, my goodness.
And this is one of many. Okay, and the women at these pregnancy centers can share the same stories. They are powerful.
They are. Some of you that know this about me are going to smile because you've heard this story, but many of you haven't heard this story. And my mother, when she got pregnant with me, had something wrong with something in her intestines or something. She needed some kind of surgery, and she was in some serious pain. So her doctor at that time, and I was born in 1963, so that should time everything up for people listening. Doctor told her that she should have an abortion because to carry a pregnancy to term was going to affect my mother's health. And we're talking real health here. Well, of course, my mother is Catholic, strong pro-life, and she wouldn't hear of it. So my mom did not entertain the idea of abortion at all, but she suffered with me the entire length of her pregnancy. I don't think, I talked to my mom about it today, I don't think that she ever regretted having me, but I want you to think about that. If we had fast-forwarded my life 10 or 11 years, would my mom have decided to abort for easy reasons or whatever, and I would not be here today? So I want listeners to understand that these stories, Janet, are real, and they're all around us. They're positive.
Yes.
If there's also more positive choices that they could make. So if they decide to go to term with their pregnancy, but they really don't want to be a mom, there is the option of adoption.
Well, let me back up a little bit.
Okay.
So if they don't want to be a mom, here's the thing, ready or not, you're pregnant, you're a mommy. Okay? So we got to get the
definition of mom.
Okay. they don't feel that they can provide the right lifestyle and home for that.
Well, let's be honest.
For their child,
let's
right.
throw it out there, Janet. Yeah. If a girl who's 13 years old, and it's very possible in this day and age for a 12 or a 13-year-old girl to get pregnant, this child is not ready to be a parent. And maybe her parents don't step up to say, you know, we'll take this child in. So there are cases where these women choose to have their babies, but they just cannot, as you mentioned, be a parent.
Exactly. And, you know, that is so important to really understand that there are so many families out there that cannot have their own children. I can't have kids. I know many other people that cannot have kids. My life went in a different direction, you know, as a single woman, you know, in the Navy and working, you know, a couple jobs because I wanted to live in Hawaii. You know, I didn't feel that, you know, I could give that attention, but I watched my friends' kids all the time when they were traveling. And so I was an auntie on many different levels, but there are so many people here that really want to open their home and provide a loving, want to be moms and dads, you know, or aunties and uncles, and want to foster or adopt these, you know, precious lives. And so there's always a solution. There's always a life-affirming solution. You know, sometimes it isn't always easy getting there.
So let's be fair. I want to be fair for the listener who may be hearing this podcast that is not a faith-based person, and they say, I've gone to Planned Parenthood and I've received good services. So they don't agree with what you're saying. So a young girl who's pregnant calls Planned Parenthood. can she make an appointment with them just to chat?
Or, no.
Okay, so walk us through that.
So Planned Parenthood is very deliberate and very intentional on their bottom line, on their end goal, from my experience. Now, I've called Planned Parenthood many, many times, but I wanted to gather information. So really what they want to do is they want to sell you an abortion, okay? The notion, you know, the usually they're getting smarter in the way they communicate. They have a lot of pre-recorded messaging now because they don't want to get entrapped into sharing what they truly do is, you know, push abortion on demand. So, you know, Planned Parenthood, you got to remember, think of Abby Johnson, who was there, is a medical director of a Planned Parenthood in the mainland. And she was told to do a ultrasound abortion where she had to find the baby out through the ultrasound on the sonogram. Do you remember this? Mm. And when she saw, really, that was the first time she was ever asked to do it because the nurse was out of the office or something like that. Don't quote me on this. I forget the whole story. But something along these lines. She was horrified when she saw the baby and that the doctor was going in to, you know, dismember the baby. And this is really what the goal of Planned Parenthood is. They want to get women into their facilities to sell as many abortions as possible because, you know, they hide under the guise of women's health care, you know, mammograms, pap smears, STD testing, excuse me, whatever else the gamut may be that they do to help us. But really what they do is refer, for the most part, these services out to other doctors. Planned Parenthood is primarily in the business of doing abortions and as many abortions as they can. That is why most of the centers on the neighbor islands shut down because they weren't lucrative. Just referring out, there's a lot of family planning centers, aka also abortion providers, that can provide those services, you know, on a welfare basis, you know. So my experience is Planned Parenthood isn't really in the business of laying all the options out on the table. Because it cuts into their...
So they do legally in a sense of they might have brochures or whatever for all these other things.
Correct.
And the reason I ask this, dear listener, is because I want you to understand that the pregnancy resource centers really do talk about all the options. They really, really do. When you go in there, they will tell you the dangers of an abortion. They will tell you the dangers of contraception. They will do a pregnancy, or they will walk you through your pregnancy test. I also want to make that very clear that the pregnancy resource centers do not read your pregnancy test for you. You will do that on your own, but they do provide that for you. They will give you counseling, and Planned Parenthood does, as Janet mentioned, only a certain amount of stuff. So I say that to show that the Christian community really is doing a lot more than just stopping women from having an abortion. And I also want to give a shout out to Catholic Charities, who runs the Mary Jane Center, who is an actual home for young pregnant mothers until they actually give birth. So again, the faith-based community doesn't just do one little aspect of this. They will walk you through the entire process. So it is good news indeed. In these last few minutes, though, Janet, I really want to pick your brain before we lose the listeners to the dangers of contraception.
Okay.
Because I think I want people to understand. So now we've talked about, recapping these last podcasts that we've done, we've talked about the history of abortion in Hawaii, how we got to where we're at today. We've talked about the emotional aspects of an abortion and the grace and mercy that comes when you come to the throne of God. But let's talk for a moment, Janet, about the dangers of contraception. So what happens to these moderate to liberal parents who say, you know what, my kid's going to do this anyway, so I'm going to take them down to my regular doctor or even Planned Parenthood, and I'm going to get them on contraception. Why is that a problem, and why should we be concerned?
You know, the birth control pills are really powerful drugs. and they can cause all kinds of problems, such as vomiting, headaches, breast tenderness, dizziness, things like fluid retention, abdominal pain, irregular bleeding. You know, and these girls are just starting to understand what their menstrual cycle is and what it's intended to do and how that connects to sex. There's just a lot of reasons why girls that are not intellectually able to understand what is happening to their developing bodies and what the birth control does to them can be very harmful, and it can send a really bad message to these teenagers, saying, you know, it's okay to have sex, and you know what, it doesn't stop STDs. I'll share a statistic that might be that's extremely alarming. Not might be alarming. In 2003, now I know we're all these years later, but this is a statistic that just stands out to me. In 2003, Kauai led the country in gonorrhea amongst teens per 100,000 per capita in the nation. Wow.
But wait, I thought Planned Parenthood was teaching our kids how to have responsible
sex. Hello. My point precisely. So, you know, it's, you know what? And parents are up against a lot today. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I can't imagine being a parent of a teenager today. It's hard.
Well, you know what I'm hearing, Janet? Maybe this is for another podcast, and maybe I'll bring a pastor in to talk about this. I've actually heard from parents that say they have a hard time having this discussion with their kids because they themselves have been promiscuous. And they feel like that, how can I sit down and talk to my child about premarital sex when my child is a product of premarital sex? And so maybe the issue is really going back to this biblical sense of chastity and purity, and maybe that's where we need to start. But understanding that if we have to look at where we're at a place in society where sex, even going back to the 1970s, it may not be sex, drugs, and rock and roll anymore, but it's still the same sense of non-responsibility and doing what feels good.
Yeah.
So believe it or not, dear listener, we are at the end of our third podcast. And I think that we may have to do one more. Janet, are you willing to stick around and maybe do one more?
I don't know if the listeners want to have me for another one. But I think this is really, it's really critical. It's important to understand the history, to know, you know, where we're at now, and, you know, what we can do to just continue to educate and help each other and come alongside each other and to carry each other's burdens through this. This is reality. This isn't, you know, a fairy tale, and we have to really deal with it. And I commend every parent out there, and, you know, every uncle, every auntie, every grandparent that is parenting and loving on our kiddos out there. Kudos to all of you.
And that is where we'll end this. But let's come back one more time and we'll talk about where do we go from here. Now that we know that this is where life issues are in Hawaii, here's what the statistics are, here's what the choices are for our youth. Let's come back next time and talk about where we go from here and how we make a difference in this beautiful state of Hawaii. Thanks again, Janet, for hanging in there with us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And we'll see you all next week. Mahalo for listening. Aloha, this is Eva Andrade, president of Hawaii Family Forum, and we are pleased that you were able to join us on this weekly Triple F podcast. We hope you'll join us next week. Take care and God bless.